Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
Art of Construction Tribe, this is one of the podcasts I've been so jazzed to. I'm sitting out here on the showroom floor of Built North America. And starting off, give credit where credit is due, is I'm going to be bringing in Ben Glunz, the CEO of BIM Smith, who I met him at Autodesk University and at Mark Mitchell's Wizard Summit and a few other places. And he's like, you know what, Devin, you really got to get involved with Built. And I'm like, what's Built? So here we are 2 years later. I'm in his booth. I'm so stoked for tonight that his company is sponsoring the gala where we're all going to be in emerald green in the emerald city of Seattle. And what an awesome group of people here at Digital Built Week. We've done, I think it's going to end up being over 10 different podcasts around Digital Built Week. I did the keynote podcast with Steve Burrows. Go check that out. And I even gave a shout out to Ben. So we're going to go in and we're going to talk about BIM. And the kind of theme of this conversation is about BIM, building informational modeling. It's not just a product, it's part of the process. And he has a really cool company, BIM Smith, we're going to learn about all around BIM. So what is BIM? What is Digital Built Week? And key perspectives with building BIM products in the art of construction. And I also have a guest co-host with me here today. And if you go back and listen in the 50s, I had Matt McMullen, who had Create Architecture. Now he's heading up Able Design Group. And he's been here with me this week, pulling me in and helping me understand some of the real world perspectives as the Tasmanian Devin just going all over the place, meeting all these amazing people. So Matt, before we go in and meet up with Ben, what's your take on BIM as leading up an architect firm and what you want to talk with Ben about?
You know, what I want to talk with Ben about is just start with culture, kind of the culture of the company. That's always important because I think you really get a feel for who the owner and founder is based on the people that they surround themselves with. So very excited to talk about that. Also want to chat a little bit about the distinction between BIM as a product and BIM is a process. And you and I were talking a little bit before and with Ethan at BIM Smith, and the fact that in the old days, hand drawings, some people would confuse the fact that they were actually the product and they would try to create the drawings as a work of art. And really all they are is just a venue in order to get the building built, which is the important thing. And so really talking about how BIM is that tool in that process in order to get the building built, which is your final outcome.
Awesome.
The other thing I want to talk about too is just the fact that emerald green, and we're in emerald tonight, and the fact that in the background on this, you're going to hear yacht rock. So I think the synchronicity is absolutely amazing.
Oh man, this one's going to be fun. This guy is a character and he's a cool dude. So let's dive in and have a fireside chat with Ben, the CEO of BIM Smith. Lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
I would have to say coffee before the hour of 4 o'clock, and after 4 o'clock, probably Maker's Mark.
I love this guy.
So we're going to be able to have coffee together today and Maker's Mark
probably
together today.
Probably both.
Today's going to be a good day.
It's going to be a great day.
Awesome. So what's your favorite place you've traveled?
I'd have to say Greece. When I was in architecture school, I went over there to study. And got to go to about 10 different cities there and just love it over there.
Give us one story from your trip to Greece.
I mean, I was there with my colleagues in architecture school, and we were in the hill town of Nafplion, and we were just walking along and we found this cliff over the ocean or over the Mediterranean Sea, and we decided we were going cliff diving, so well, we just went for it.
Nice, attaboy.
Yeah.
Those moments that you capture just, and remember,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's great. So what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we passionately call the art of construction?
Sure. Well, obviously, my kid, one-year-old Walt, definitely keeps me busy. Caught him climbing up the stove the other day. He's a little ninja. And my wife, you know, we got our little family, so that's a lot of fun. And then outside of that, just love outdoors, love getting out there and hiking and doing things like that. Woodworking, you know, all that kind of stuff, so.
Awesome.
So tell us your story and what led you to putting together this amazing company, BIMsmith. And you were in architecture before. Sure, you're an sure. owner of a BIM agency, right?
Yeah, right. So I was at a firm helping them make a transition to Revit very early on when a lot of firms weren't doing that. And at the time, a lot of firms were still using AutoCAD. I was taught AutoCAD in school, also taught Revit in school, but it just didn't make sense to me that you would draw a building with lines and arcs when you could make a model and then generate your drawings from it. And so I was just completely infatuated by the concept of BIM, and so just wanted to be wherever I could learn about that, and just early on kind of rose up in that a lot of, there weren't a lot of people out there at that point that could really help firms do that. And so at that firm, I met my co-founder, Freddie Munoz, at the architecture firm. And we decided at one point in around 2010 that we wanted to spin off and begin working with building product manufacturers and BIM.
Awesome. So help me understand, give us the what is BIM in a short kind of synopsis. And sitting here at Digital Build Week, it's probably like, Devin, you probably shouldn't ask that question because that was a long time ago. But I raise my hand and say, I just asked that question to say, you know, let's start off, but what is BIM and the key aspects of BIM?
Sure. The easiest way to describe BIM is that it's really a process for designing and maintaining buildings digitally. So if you think about if you could design a building fully in 3D before breaking ground, that you could see where the walls are, where the windows are, where every HVAC duct is, and see any potential clashes. You know, it can save so much time, headache, inefficiency, cost throughout the process by just doing it digitally where it's cheap instead of having to physically do it. And so that's really the thing. A lot of people want to put BIM, you know, in the software, and, you know, there are many BIM softwares out there, but the way we just try to describe that is just a process, because it really is a shift in the way we design buildings, away from drawing with lines and arcs into thinking and constructing digitally with digital components.
You know, I was struck by a panel that we sat in that you moderated yesterday. And, you know, you always hear the word test fit, and that means different things to people. And in interiors, test fit means you've taken the floor template, putting workstations in it. Test fit also can mean that you're trying to fit a building onto a site. But what really struck me, and these are manufacturers that work with BIMsmith, you know, one was from USG, another one was Firestop. And the fact that in another session I heard about constructability, that if you can't build it in BIM, that's probably a good sign that maybe you're not going to be able to build it in the field. Yeah. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that, and that's sort of, you know, honing down a little bit on it.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And the thing about Revit, which is one of the most commonly used BIM softwares out there, it has about 80% market share in North America. The thing about Revit is it catches you. In AutoCAD, you could fake it. All you had to do was put a hatch pattern on it, or, you know, some line work, and you could make anything look like it worked. And the thing about Revit is it actually forces you to think through what you're doing. If your roof doesn't close, it doesn't close. If your measurements from the field don't close, they don't close. And until you fix that, you're not going to have a functional design. And so, you know, early days, some of the contractors got on board with BIM even before the architects that they were working with, because they would take the 2D drawings, the bid package in the bidding phase, they'd make a model of the building, they'd detect all the places that the architect messed up or didn't catch something, calculate how many RFIs or change orders they were going to have, and then bid accordingly. And they were winning jobs that way because they could account for all the areas where the mistakes were before the building even broke ground. And so that's just, you know, one of those moments for me, seeing that it's like, this is a game changer.
Yeah, you know, we always talked about it in the office, you know, the Z axis, right? So the Z will make you free, which is, yeah, it really exposed all those sort of collisions and potential opportunities for change orders.
Yeah, you can't fake it till you make it in that instance, right? And we were at Mark Mitchell's building summit together, and you did a presentation there. And if you're not following Ben Glunzen as a thought leader in this industry, do so, because you really do a great job of presenting what this stuff means of, you know, where we, you know, where we've been, where we are, and where we're going with this stuff. Because there's so many moving parts of this and moving so fast. And you put on the screen, you just put a rectangle box on the screen, and you said, "What's that?" And let everybody just make, you know, it's a box, it's a this. And then you pumped it into Revit, and there was a desk that you saw in the room, and you're like, "Yeah, guys, it's a desk." And it's like, "What?" You couldn't see that from the 2D versus 3D. And that's the big moment that I've been seeing of the different things. That's that handoff, if you will, that is real at this point. You know, I ran the Enscape panel. We're doing multiple podcasts around with Enscape, and I'm fascinated by that company with the real-time rendering. When the panel and the guy says, that was the big movement for us, is when we could use BIM in these models of showcasing people that don't understand looking at 2D plans. People buy from pictures, and those pictures, but now we can make those pictures be what's actually built. Is that kind of BIM? And talk through the BIM for us a little bit.
Sure. So BIM is Building Information Modeling. And, you know, the thing about it is it's only as real as you make it. And I always talk about going to a Ford dealership and asking for a generic car, and how many miles per gallon does a generic car get? What colors does the generic car come in? And they'd look at you like you're crazy. But if you say, I want to know exactly how many miles per gallon the 2020 Ford Explorer has, they could tell you all about it. And so that's really the thing that I think a lot of people get disconnected on with BIM, is that they want to use generic components and models and, you know, just say, oh, here's a table, we'll figure that out later. And, you know, that kind of misses the point, because so many manufacturers have now begun to provide full libraries of their products that you can use the actual products, so that your client can fully understand this is what it will literally look like. And Enscape is a great example of one of the ways that gets bridged, because it provides the vehicle to literally be able to show what it's gonna be like, to be able to walk through a space with your client in a VR headset or something like that, and say, it might look something like this is the design intent, but actually saying, nope, this is exactly what it's gonna look like.
And I thought that was a pretty astute analogy that you made, and you used it in the panel yesterday. And if you stay with the automotive industry and you talk about trim package, right? So is it a DX, an XE, an LE, a limited plus? You know, that rate relates directly to building finishes and fenestration, and that's where cost comes in. So I thought it was a great analogy.
Yeah, and how can you appreciate what something's going to cost? You know, being a building owner myself, I like to know what my options are. And sometimes it's not that I'm afraid to spend money. It's not always about that. It's is there enough value for me to spend the money?
Right.
And so when you look at BIM as a means to value creation, and being able to better communicate to your owner, your client, facility manager, you know, that's a big opportunity for architects and contractors and manufacturers to be able to upsell, because you're more clearly communicating what the value of that upgrade package, if you will, is.
Yeah, so as I've been going around, you know, the passion for the art of construction is to break down the different silos that have been built up and truly connect the dots through the digital built environment, and connecting these technologies to handshakes. The thing that I've really seen, and I want to kind of talk a little bit more about Digital Built Week after this question, but what I want to put out there is, I hear this clash detection everywhere I go. But I think one of the biggest clash detections is, how do these different platforms work together? And as I go, and you know, you got the manufacturer and you got the contractor and the architect, supply chain, and all these different silos built up there, I see a lot of manufacturers really struggling because they think they can do it best themselves. And when I was at your panel yesterday, kudos to you for not being salesy, but a lot of these different manufacturers were out there saying, you know, it kind of became this standoff as like, well, I got to do all this stuff. And I heard the word lean and like not putting too much in your BIM models. So my question to you is like, correct me if I'm wrong, that's kind of what the platform you've built. So talk to us about kind of Forge and Market and what you do so these manufacturers can go back to being better artists of manufacturing their product instead of being BIM managers. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And a lot of manufacturers think that they have to have in-house BIM expertise. And what they really need to be focusing on is A, being able to communicate the value of BIM to their executive teams. That is a must for any VP of sales, VP of marketing that's overseeing the program. But when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of actually implementing BIM within an organization, that's where we can come in and provide our best-in-class subject matters experts across our team. To hire our team, you'd have to hire a couple dozen people of different subject matter experts and then share them, right? So we're bringing, call it 1/30th of each to each manufacturer to share them. Hey, you want a VR expert? We bring in our guy from our team who can really go deep on that. You want to talk about the best ways to make lightweight models to be able to put into a project? We have a member of our team who focuses on that. So a lot of manufacturers think they need to have an end-all, be-all person who can do all that and wear all those hats, and that's just overwhelming. And I think that's what you were seeing in some of the manufacturers in that panel, that they kind of get stressed out about it, and that's just kind of a dated way to look at it. So what I would love to see more manufacturers do is focus on their product and innovating that product. Push your product forward and let the experts in the different areas help backfill that part of your expertise.
You know, Devin, you opened up a really good path, and I kind of want to walk down this path a little bit here. And this is directly speaking to the architects and designers that may be listening to this. Is you think about sub-consultants that you're using out in the field, tradespeople, and it really gets to craftsmen. And I think that's what Ben is starting to talk about, is that on the digital side, they're really performing a craft. And so you'll a lot of times, and that's what I've been struck with here at Built Week so far, is that you walk around and there are these crafts people that have these companies that they're personally invested in them, they're passionate about them. And Ben Smith, I think, is a perfect example of that. And so versus a sort of an impersonal corporation, I won't name any names on either the Mac or the PC side, but you really don't get that touch, right? That velvet touch, and here you get that. So could you talk a little bit about BIM Smith and the culture that you've created there, how you bring talent into your firm, your connections with Judson University, and just a little bit for our listeners to hear about how you've built BIM Smith.
Sure. So when we started the company, we were 100% out of practice. So, as the CEO and the COO, we both came from architecture. I grew up in a GC family. I'm fourth generation in the building industry in my family. So that was really important to us, that those roots in actually having done what we're talking about, we felt that was really important to maintain. So to this day, we try to stay anywhere between 60 and 70% industry practitioners. So we stay sharp and on top of our game to make sure that what we're saying and the way we're advising our clients and our manufacturers and our users isn't just based on some theory, it's based on practice. And so that's really core to the types of folks we're looking for. And then when we get to a cultural aspect, we're looking for people who are all in, people who are pumped about what we're doing, excited out of their minds. Sometimes people will join us and maybe they find it's not for them. That's great, but it may not be a fit for them. We want members of our team to be on board with our mission and do whatever it takes to move that forward. And, along with that, we have about 10 corporate values that we really just measure everyone and really instill those values. And one of those is just a culture of continuous improvement. And so, never just sitting around and saying, oh, that's good enough for now. You're never going to hear those words. Another one of my favorite values from our company is something I've dubbed broom pushing, which is basically the concept of just, hey, you know, if you see some dirt on the floor, pick up the broom and sweep it. I don't care if you're me as the CEO. I don't care if you're the head of accounting. I don't care if you're an intern. It, you know, if something needs to be done, do it. Now, we do have a cleaning service, so we're not talking literally. But the point is, if you see something to be done, even if it's not in your job description and you have the power to impact it, that's part of your responsibility as part of being our culture.
Yeah, do we in our firm, we had kind of a thing, and it's from Rocky, you know, Eye of the Tiger, right?
And so
right.
You're really looking for that component in young folk who are coming into your
yes.
firm. Do they have that passion? Do
yes.
they want it?
Yeah.
And then the other thing I thought about when you were talking about is sort of, you know, my Midwest upbringing is Larry the Cable Guy, right? And it's just, you know, get her done.
Yeah.
GSD,
bring those things together.
Yeah. And, you know, when we recruit, you know, one of the best places we've recruited from is Judson University. That's where I went to architecture school, got my master's of architecture. There are a lot of fantastic people, best in class architecture school, a true gem in the Chicago area. And so we continue to just see a tremendous amount of talent spin out of that place, whether it's, you know, they've gone off and worked at a major firm, top 100 firms, and they want to do something else. You know, folks like Troy on our team, you know, went off and worked at big firms and, you know, graduated from Judson, went off and worked at firms and then came back. But then we also have a pretty robust intern program, which is kind of our talent farm. And so at any given time, we have 4 or 5 interns across marketing and business and architecture, teaching them, you know, the practical applications of what they're learning in school. Some of them have gone on to join us full time and get promoted a couple times. And, you know, one of our project managers right now started as an intern 6 or 7 years ago. So, you know, just building into people and, you know, kind of showing them the no BS side of the practice. I think a lot of times in school, you know, things get fluffed up quite a bit. And I find that today's students are hungry for real world application,
right.
Rubber meets the road type things. And so that's been a real asset for us.
Well, and kudos to you. And you know, Devin talks about this a lot, about silos. And I think, you know, with your training as an architect and having been in the field and then bringing in people who have that experience, it's not really like a, you know, you call it CAD jockeys or a CAD farm, that there's real connection of you busting the silo down and getting out there and going, hey, you know, we got our hands into all of it and we know how things are going. So you're down there in the trenches and on the battlefield with everybody who's creating projects, creating value in the built environment.
So I want to dive in a little bit and talk about the products of your company. So you have the parent company, Angularis Technologies, right? Angularis is the parent company that BIM Smith is the booth we're sitting in here today
yeah.
that goes into 2 channels of the Forge, Build with Forge, and the Marketplace.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
So talk about those 2 different platforms, and you have some kind of new exciting fingers from that you've just launched recently, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So the whole concept behind BIM Smith is providing a seamless connection between building product manufacturers and AEC pros. That's really the whole concept behind it. How can you construct digitally if you don't have a place to source digitally? You know, so that was a gaping hole that we saw when we first started using Revit, and we were having to model things all of the time. And that's not what we were being paid to do. I wasn't being paid to model Kohler's sink. I was being paid to design a building. And so that was a bit of an aha moment, but the technology behind the platform has 3 patents on it. And it's something we began developing in 2013. And so it's really evolved into a whole suite of tools that just makes it easier for people to be able to do their research on products, whether that's a visually oriented research or technically oriented research or specification driven research. And then being able to pull that straight into a Revit project or straight into a CAD project or whatever it is that you're doing to be able to get specs, cut sheets, safety data sets. And so that's really the whole premise of it. And so what we've been doing is layering both input data on the top end of the funnel and then output venues on the bottom end of the funnel. So an example of a top-down data input would be our partnership with UL. We announced an exclusive partnership with UL earlier this year, whereby we're pulling data from their 100 and however many years of testing data and instilling that right into the products that we have on the site. So that provides the manufacturer's value and our end users. So kind of the top end of the funnel, there's a couple other examples of that. But then on the bottom end of the funnel, partnering with the tools that people are using downstream to organize their data. And so that's the partnership that we announced yesterday with Avail, which is a content management tool for architects and contractors to be able to take all the stuff, digital assets that they have, and organize it in a simple sort of iTunes-y format. And so instead of people having to download it, put it on their desktop, and then load it to Avail, now they can just pull it straight into Avail through BIM Smith Connector. And so those are the types of integrations that we're doing because we feel that the future of the industry, the future of innovation and in product is really about connectivity. And that's the part that a lot of people just don't understand is that they want to be the center of the universe. You come to me. I am the hub. You are the spokes. And we just think that's a really naive perspective as we move into the 21st century. It needs to be more like a neural network. And that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight in my talk at the gala, is that connectivity is really that future for innovation.
So what's your take on that, Matt, as a user and a design firm, as far as that connectivity? Does that resonate?
Yeah, two thoughts. Neural. The other thing I'd say is nodal, right?
Yes.
Yeah, neural will definitely, because you get synapses firing, right? And I started in pre-med before I said, hey, I need to be creative and not just memorize stuff.
Sure.
But yeah, sort of a nodal network, and you're facilitating those connections. So it definitely resonates. The other thing I was just thinking, going back out to 60,000 foot view again, is I was mentioning this to Devin yesterday. We started using ARCHICAD in 1994. Very few people were doing three-dimensional CAD, and it's like coming to this conference and chatting with you. If you're not here at this conference or you don't know about this conference, it's like I feel like I just barely caught the bus. I was waving, and the bus happened to slow down, and I got in, and luckily I had the right fare. But yeah, for all the people listening, if you're not here next year, you're even more than a full year behind already.
Yeah, and so that Forge tool is like you're actually taking USG and a window company and different, like you're taking these different products and assembling this wall with a UL test that is actually connecting and coming together. That's the only way this thing is going to move forward versus the opposite of the whole guide versus the hero. You have to guide your stuff through the process instead. I'm the hero, come to me.
Yes.
And it's like there's this big change. It's like the financial investment industry. I call on my window door company, we call them trusted advisors instead of being the product and pitch of this one window and door company. And why I bring that up is that's how the financial, you don't call your stockbroker to get the stock price today. You have to change that mind shift. And these are the people, and that's where I want to kind of open the, have you talked to us about Digital Built Week? And this group of people are amazing, but they're kind of going through this transition when they're the kind of leaders of breaking down in silos and connecting that. When you say BILT, North America, you've been around this for a while. Heck, thank you for being the gala sponsor of connecting us all. Like it's really cool what you're doing. Like, and when you say Ben Glunz, if you don't know this name, you need to know this name because you're leading the connection of this industry through this platform. It's a big deal, man. We're really proud of you and honored to be on the Art of Construction to talk about that. So, and be the official podcast. It's like fish out of a water, but what doesn't kill you makes you stronger here. So that's where my perspective is. If you can't tell, I'm pretty jazzed about being a part of this group. And so what's your take on Digital Built Week for people that may not quite know about it that are part of the Art of Construction tribe?
Yeah, this event is really the highlight of our entire calendar year. We probably do 20 shows in a year, and we feel like this is the spot where the top innovators, the top thought leaders in the digital construction industry come together. I mean, you can throw a rock in any direction and you're gonna hit somebody that is just gonna blow your mind. And so that's one of the things that makes this event electric. I heard an interesting statistic the other day from Wes Ben, the chairman of the founder of the event, that in the 850 people who attend this event, they are directly responsible for over 500,000 industry practitioners. And so when you think of that as a measurement or a ratio of influence, this room is truly electric. And so the event has only been around 7 or 8 years, but what has accomplished and come out of this in the ecosystem that it has helped to thrive is truly remarkable.
What do you think of that, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing, I wanted to go back into the cul-de-sac here again a little bit and just talk about, because I'm sitting here thinking, as an architect, what did I most appreciate about what I saw on your panel yesterday? And as architects, right, we got to get health, safety, and welfare learning units, right? And the fact that you had USG on board, right, and you had Firestop on board, now, you know, I didn't know you were doing UL, is huge, right? I mean, this is relating specifically to occupancy, fire separations, I mean, all the things that, you know, and you always hate to say it, that could potentially kill people. And so I really appreciate the fact that you have brought those people on board, because as a young person, even as an older architect, man, that's where you sort of struggle to figure out exactly those systems. Could you talk a little bit about that as well, too? Because I think that'll mean a lot to licensed architects.
Yeah, it's so true. And it does come partially out of when I first entered the profession is, you know, schools aren't fully preparing you for, you know, the rubber meets the road side of practice, as I mentioned earlier. And so when you kind of get thrown into this, out of the fishbowl into the lake, if you will, when you go into practice, there's so much more that you need to learn. And I feel like a lot of the older architects, the folks who know this stuff inside and out, I feel like a lot of that tribal knowledge is not being passed as eloquently as it was in the past, because we have the internet, we have software, there's almost this perception that we don't need that. And so one of the things that is core to the BIM Smith platform is capturing that tribal knowledge and reinventing it in a way that the younger generation of architects, as they come up through, can relate to it in a format that they feel comfortable and then can make them more effective in their jobs. And so when you go into BIM Smith Forge, you'll notice that you know, you don't have to know the exact CSI number for 20 gauge steel stud to specify it. You just type in metal studs and it's going to guide you through, well, here are some common sizes, here are some common applications, here's some companies that make it. And it just makes it easier for them to be able to make better decisions and not make a fool out of themselves, because that's a lot of times what happens is people are too embarrassed to ask questions because they think it's dumb. But you know, just putting that in front of them and then also leveraging the tribal knowledge of manufacturers, because that's another area where we see knowledge sort of disappearing, is that it's not being passed on effectively. It's all put into these systems, but in terms of people who actually understand it, it becomes tough. So just taking that all together, bundling it up, and making it, you know, consumable data is really important to us.
Well, it's what, and you mentioned that we always have, with our junior architects, we have the talk. And the talk is about...
Ooh, the talk.
The talk. And so the talk is about what is the only stupid question that exists in the architecture profession? It's the one that you don't ask because you were too embarrassed, and then later it leads to some sort of errors and omissions litigation. Yeah. So I always say there are no stupid questions, and in fact, you may think it's stupid. You'll ask me, I may not know, probably, and then we'll find the answer together. Yeah. And I guess that's the strength. That's why I asked that, is the strength of the information that you've put together from USG and so. Is that almost call it, and I don't want to go too heavy down that road, codesmith, in the sense that you are assisting folks, older or younger, experienced or not, new interns, with code. And so I wonder if you've thought about that, of how maybe that becomes like sort of a line of BIM Smith, where you dive a little deeper into that HSW and maybe a little bit of code without getting into IBC and what it does.
Sure. So, I mean, I would never say that we're going to advise people on code decisions. That's just not really the path. There are some really cool startups that are out there One's called Upcodes. I don't know if you've seen that. They're trying to really democratize code in a sort of AI approach to it. But, you know, where we, again, just really try to focus is on the products. The products that are being specified and the known test benchmarks and known best practices, trying to capture that. So, yeah, in that way, definitely, trying to advise on that.
Awesome. Well, one of the things I want to say about the Forge for me is that I raise my hand and say, when I saw that tool, there's things that, like, I was actually doing over our showrooms and, like, steel studs, I'd never worked with them. So I use that to, like, help build that together. And you have so many tools to help you get over the F word, the fear of moving on with certain things. The other question I wanted you to have asked everybody that's been around this, because as you mentioned, the 850 people here are thought leaders of where this going, and the Art of Construction tribe is where all of us that are part of this are trying to, how do we leapfrog the status quo? Like, yes. How do we move this thing forward? So as we're moving that forward, what's your crystal ball a couple years from now that I see massive disruption, especially, you know, it's not if, it's when there's kind of a, when the things dip a little bit, I think that's when this stuff offsite and where that, what's your take on that? We've heard all these different presentations this week.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting shifts that's happening is the folks who really embraced the front end of the tech curve, right? The early adopters are now beginning to get into management positions and are starting to be able to influence the direction of these firms. Whereas 10 years ago, they were interns, they were BIM managers, but no one cared. The firms begrudgingly said them, you know, oh, here, okay, we'll pay your conference pass. Go ahead, have fun. You know, more as an appeasement than a strategic initiative. And so with each passing year, you know, we move up, but the disruptors will move up one peg each year.
So true.
Year after year, year after year. And that's when the disruption will be complete. And so
it's not just a video game. Go do your video game and hang out with your buddies.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things that's just been awesome for me to be watching as we, you know, we've grown our business here, and, you know, some of the folks that were those interns that just showed up here, you know, 6 or 7 years ago are now in leadership positions in the firm. And, you know, we're at the big kids table, you know, in a way,
it's fun
to watch that progression and to watch how much disruption has to happen before somebody's eyes pop out. You know, it's like, oh, that doesn't impress you? Well, how about this? How about this? How about this? How about this? How about this?
And
do I have your attention now?
We've done some presentations together to some big companies that it's like, whoa,
yeah,
you know? And
then, right.
This afternoon.
And those are the ones that are going to get boiled, you know? That's, you know, I love the analogy of boiling the frog. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've heard it, but let's put
so,
it out
so
there.
Boiling the frog, how do you boil a frog? You boil water and you throw a frog into it. He is immediately going to jump back out because he has reflexes that outpace any other creature. And so they hit that hot water, they immediately jump out. But if you put it in cool water and then turn on the heat, the temperature rises slowly, 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 and the frog gets comfortable. And by the time the water, he realizes it's too hot for him, he's already so comfortable and so just plastic that he can't move, can't get out, and you boil it. Well, that's kind of what's going to happen to these folks who aren't moving. They're sitting there, the water's getting warm, and they don't even know it. And, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, I applaud the firms that have made the investments to be thought leaders and send thought leaders to events like this. I applaud the manufacturers who have gotten on board early to be a part of this digital revolution. And, you know, I caution those who don't, because, you know, it's going to get more and more serious as time goes on.
So one of the things that we've always thought about is you cannot want it more than those people want it for themselves.
Yeah.
Because while passion can sometimes be boundless, you also have limits on your energy. And so you try to work with the people who want to move forward with you towards that common cause.
Yeah, that's definitely the truth.
Yeah, and as the stories we put together through Digital Built Week, as we're going to go to the Space Needle and see Hoffman Construction, Philip Bergsicker, that talked about the laser scanning tools that they put them in all upside down to redo the glass while it stayed open, to this afternoon we're going to be with Moritz, the founder of Enscape, he's in from Germany, and he's just such a cool guy that is so gracious. Like, the people in this room are so gracious. I challenge people that are listening to this to go have your owner, your leader, the person above us that is calling decisions, say, you might want to go to Digital Build Week next year, because that's where the people that, it's like the funnel's flipped. Like, the people that know what's going on are the ones that are going to drive a lot of decisions. And this is the place for that, like these companies that have really put it together. So thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story. The one thing we ask everybody on the Art of Construction is, what is that one thing for contractors and affiliates to grow their business and connect those technologies with handshakes as we're all figuring that out together to grow their business? What's that one?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge I would have to contractors and folks in the trade, you know, and again, I come from that background, my dad, my grandpa, my great grandpa. So I know the disruption that's happening in this area, but I would just challenge you to not be afraid of that change and to run into that and block and tackle it and just embrace it wholeheartedly, because, you know, it will shock you how much better it can make your buildings, how much better it can make your life, your people's lives, and how much it can actually just slingshot your business from a growth perspective.
Awesome. Ben, we're such big fans. I can't wait to be at the head table with you tonight and the gala and your story, and have so much fun and debrief this whole week. That's just been...
Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
It's awesome. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
Man, I am a kid in a candy store. It's like getting invited to come in and be part of this week. And I challenge you, Art of Construction Tribe, reach out to me, because the people that are putting this on are major thought leaders that have come together for this need as well. So I'm happy to make the connections to you of Digital Build Week, put it on the calendar for next year. And Matt, what was kind of the theme that you've seen throughout this week and talking with thought leaders like Ben?
You know, the thing that just jumped in my mind was Oprah. And, you know, Oprah gives sort of these meditative talks and stuff that helps you improve yourself. And so hopefully everybody in your tribe is listening to these, because you're going out and you're finding people who are thought leaders in the industry, people who are really showing a path of how to improve your work, how to improve your projects, how to help you satisfy your owners. And so absolute honor to meet Ben, guy who's a thought leader in the industry. And just want to thank you for bringing me up here this week so I can listen to this.
Yeah, and that's, you know, as I put this together in Digital Build Week, kind of the contract and all the stuff as we're figuring that out, it's unique for me, you know, owning a window and door company and being in the supply channel my whole career. I grew up in the industry that way too. And then just my passion of storytelling and going after this whole Art of Construction thing. And I said, well, as the agreement is, I want to have one other ticket, because I want to have somebody have a ticket to ride with me that's in the profession, because that's where I think I know just enough to be dangerous in this AEC community. But I have to think about what AEC means, because I didn't grow up in that. And you don't know what you don't know, and you're jaded by what you think you know. So it's an honor to have Matt here with me, because you've lived it, you know? And so I'm making these connections, and then you can pull it back. And that's where I think the storytelling becomes real, when we want to go into Forge and build a wall with Forge and go into their marketplace and have those aha moments to where you're actually using those tools. And I can't wait what comes out of this conference and what comes out of these stories that we've aligned and put together. So hopefully this has been as valuable of a tool for you as it has been for us. And if you're in the trenches enough to know enough to be dangerous, I think it can add the most value.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a great resource. We literally yesterday sent stuff off from BIM Smith, or the connection to our power user groups in our three offices for our architectural firm. So it was like, hello, yeah. You know, good morning. And so people are actively getting in and starting to look at BIM Smith, and we're figuring out how we can integrate that service into our firm.
And I love how Ben, he's not salesy, he's very humble with his platform, as far as they have all kinds of cool things they've launched with a product called Swatchbox, I believe. We'll make sure we have the right stuff in the show notes. So if you need samples and you need this stuff, like, they're taking this to a whole new level of how it actually should be done. So you manufacturers and the tribe can go back to being the artist or the constructors. They're in the middle building this stuff together to make it work, to where it's not just about making a shiny object or a video game. It's about constructability. And digital constructing is where this is all going. And that's what Digital Build Week is all about. So thanks so much for joining. Go check out all the other podcasts, and we'll tie them all together. You can go to the show notes, and we'll have collaboration. We'll show how these all connect. Hey, man, I'm going out to check out the Space Needle. Go see a picture with us up at the top of the Space Needle. And then with Ben and I tonight at the gala, we'll all be in our emerald green having so much fun. Crush it out there, Trav.